It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
Throughout the ages, how many times have the wisest of the human race warned of the tyranny that pretends to save while simultaneously tightening the noose around the neck of their victims? Consider this quote from Bertrand Russell. Certified lunatics are shut up because of their proneness to violence when their pretensions are questioned. The uncertified variety of lunatics, of course, are given the control of powerful armies and can inflict death and disaster upon all sane men within their reach, end quote. And there is this reminder, quote, from Arthur Miller, who said this: few of us can easily surrender our belief that society must somehow make sense. The thought that the state has lost its mind and is punishing so many innocent people is intolerable, and so the evidence has to be internally denied, end quote. I never wanted to do this job. Never. I'm not political. I never have been. I wanted only to wander and work in the forest alone and in solitude, restoring habitat. I wanted only to take care of the forest until my final hour. I never wanted to man such a post as that which I find myself in at this time, but my conscience will not allow me to do otherwise. For many decades, populations all over the world have been subjected to a long and growing list of experiments. Experiments conducted on them without their knowledge or their consent. Experiments from which there is no return. Last week, geoengineeringwatch.org was forwarded 3 pages from a 1978 report prepared by former U.S. Navy officer Gerald W. Admires. The report was for the, quote, Food, Weather, Water session of the 1978 National Conference of Educators. Though we only received photocopies of these 3 aged and partially damaged documents, these 3 pages are indeed alarming and an absolute confirmation of what geoengineeringwatch.org has tried to warn about for well over a decade. That covert climate engineering operations conducted by nations all over the world, either actively or passively, were tearing apart Earth's climate and life support systems. Listen carefully to this document, again by a former U.S. Navy officer. Quote, Sir Bernard Lovell, in his book In the Center of Immensities, 1978 publication, stated this comment: more than ever before in our century, society was persuaded to give great material support to scientific activities in the belief that the discoveries would inevitably in some way be of practical benefit to humanity. Already we see that this is not the case. The more science has progressed, so the divisions of good and evil in its application have disappeared. The belief in automatic material progress by means of scientific discovery and application has become a tragic myth of our age, end quote. The report from U.S. Navy officer Gerald Admires continues. He says, in essence, Sir Lovell's message to society and its educators is, there's no free lunch in the long run. Your technology exacts a greater price than mankind can pay. The final toll is society itself and the environment, and immeasurable suffering. The report continues, scientists in their zeal to unlock, quote, Pandora's box, given a world population as, quote, guinea pigs, and the Earth as their laboratory, have experimented the world into a juggernaut of death and destruction. Some scientists wail, quote, we cannot go back, end quote. In a way, the report states they are right. Continuing with the report, however, the scientists can stop their experiments long enough to watch nature regain some semblance of equilibrium. True, we will all suffer at some length, but technology's cure without wisdom is far worse than our disease of greed and lust. Water is the unique liquid without which life, as we know it, cannot exist. Once the supply was relatively prevalent, in nature's hydrological cycle, a delicate balance was obvious. It rose from the seas, the oceans, the lakes, and the rivers. The plants drew water from the soil and returned it via the atmosphere. brooks, rivers, streams, lakes, oceans, the energies released in the process once cleansed the air we breathe. Then along came scientists. Quote, we can regulate the water to everyone, end quote. All can have their, quote, rightful share, end quote, the report states, and continues, they promised. Politicians and merchants joined the chant. The trusting public responded with their wages, earned with hard work. Unknown to the public, there was another price to pay. In order to, quote, adjust precipitation, scientists had to, quote, adjust the amount of moisture in the atmosphere. If the air mass was too dry, they extracted more water from the ocean and lakes as their air mass moved eastward. The electrical properties of the atmosphere had to be regulated. Solar energy had to be, quote, adjusted to regulate the temperature differences. One of the principal devices used for, quote, adjustment is the use of smoke of various elements ejected from aircraft at appropriate altitudes. Reduced electrical potential had to be increased to, quote, trigger the release of precipitation, quote, locked in tiny ice crystals high in the atmosphere. So ionized clouds of gas, i.e. plasma, were and are ejected from high-flying aircraft. By these means and other intentionally induced atmospheric phenomena, scientists threw the hydrological cycle and wind systems out of harmonic equilibrium, and now, through erroneously programmed computers, are trying to provide the world with, quote, packaged precipitation according to, quote, users' desires and for a generous fee. Report continues with this. Some scientists hold that members of their profession have an obligation to the general public to describe scientific experiments as best they can, while others in the field apparently attempt to mislead the public. The sporadic yet continuous growth of efforts to control precipitation for, quote, world benefit has had a profound, deleterious effect on world climate. The constant injection of various elements into the upper troposphere has established a high, at times almost invisible, veil of gaseous iodine, halogens, ammonia, and carbon dioxide ions, which will, like volcanic dust, remain there, affecting our climate for years. Various efforts to explain our recent anomalous climate continue to avoid at length discussion of weather modification activities. Buried are the gems of wisdom uttered by Dr. Irving Langmuir, the man who had such high hopes for benevolent usage of his many scientific discoveries. Until today's weather scientists admit to their 30-year-old folly of raping our skies, climate patterns will continue to rain quick and slow death and destruction around the world on a greedy, lustful human race and all of nature's innocent life forms. Politicians, sociologists, and scientists currently point to the dangers of immediate world famine because, quote, they say, we cannot provide enough food for an overburdening world population, end quote. Yet, every effort to provide technology to increase food production has, in fact, reduced man's ability to produce crops of balanced nutrition. Furthermore, the report states, it is a matter of public record that some nations withhold food supplies from the needy in order to drive up prices. Those nations with an overabundance of food supply will continue to find a market in those nations who suffer from science-induced climate anomalies, i.e. weather warfare. Final paragraph from this report. Educators have a hard choice to make, whether to continue the current deceptive, propagandized, quote, conditioning educational system, or to teach the truth of how to live in harmony with the world's ecosystem. End of report from former U.S. Navy veteran Gerald W. Admires, again from 1978. All of this report from 1978 stating that these programs had already been in operation for 30 plus years, exactly when geoengineeringwatch.org has stated these programs were first fully deployed. Question, how is it possible that such an unbelievably obvious scenario that's happening in our skies can be hidden in plain sight for over 70 years and blatantly denied by all official sources, by the corporate-controlled media, and unfortunately, I'm very sorry to say, the majority of the population still buying that official denial instead of what they can see with their own eyes, what they could easily research if they would take the time to do so. While carefully crafted political theaters of mass distraction and division are carried out by the criminally corrupt corporate media, while orchestrated scenarios are being inflicted on global societies, in the background, our collective futures are being carved in stone. To dovetail on the report from 1978 that I just covered, how dire and immediate is our collective horizon today? What does the data reveal? The following statement was just provided to geoengineeringwatch.org from the former NASA contract engineer that has worked directly with geoengineeringwatch.org with state-of-the-art UV metering equipment supplied to him by us to monitor the radically increasing UV radiation levels that are now bombarding our planet. Though he is himself now battling severe health issues, he was compelled to pin this report that I'm about to cover. It starts with this. Quote, okay, everyone, brace for impact, end quote, exclamation point. The report continues from this former NASA contract engineer, again, just issued 2 days ago. Quote, the collapsing upper ozone layer. Recent data has shown that the trend line model created from data gathered at Mount Hamilton on October 5th of 2016 is still accurate and correct, that by 2025, if all remains the same, you won't be able to grow crops in direct sunlight. No significant repairs to the upper ozone layer have been established according to recent data, though NASA would like you to think everything is okay. The report continues. This is a life-threatening scenario to everyone on the planet. Sensationalism? Question mark? Yes. By whatever means necessary to open those closed eyes and minds that put dire truths into a, quote, conspiracy theory category. The data collected over the last 4 years also has another dire issue. Micro holes in the upper ozone layer. These holes range from roughly 15 feet to 10 miles. 15 feet represents approximately 10 milliseconds of Earth's rotation and is the integration period set into the, he names the meter. It's an ILT950UV spectral radiometer. To my knowledge, this NASA contract engineer states, no one is gathering this data with this resolution, except for him, of course, working with geoengineeringwatch.org. He continues, micro holes in the upper ozone layer will cause you to have an immediate sting reaction on your sunlit exposed skin. This can send 95% of the deadly solar UV radiation straight through you, your kids, your pets, eyes especially, and wherever you have planted. The spike in UVC during microhole transit, again, UVC, the last spectrum of UV radiation before X-ray. We all know how harmful that is, and it's hitting the surface now, UVC is. He continues with the report. The UVC spike during microhole transition has been measured to be as much as 13 times higher than data gathered before and after the hole transits, and this damages all life, DNA, and RNA. His report continues, a typical rocket launch through our atmosphere will create an 11-mile-wide hole in the upper ozone layer and atmospheric recombination of O3 molecules within the atmosphere can take weeks, sometimes years, to return to normal. Please note, there is no such thing as, quote, normal at this time in our Earth's history. These holes may continue in our atmosphere, much like the giant spot on Jupiter. Sadly, it is in my opinion that the bullfrogs Dane has been rescuing, those that didn't make it, may be a direct result from a micro hole in the upper ozone layer. I continue this research, this contract engineer states, with many hopes of others taking notes, and even some of those with enough resources to afford such expensive atmospheric measuring devices like LIDAR and several thousand strategically placed ILT950UV spectral radiometers. That's the device that geoengineeringwatch.org supplied to this contract engineer. X-ray and cosmic gamma detectors. That the placement of these devices would help us all here on Earth to know the status of the upper ozone layer. He finishes with this. When it's gone, i.e. the ozone layer, we are all gone. End of report from the NASA contract engineer. As has been stated many times on this broadcast, even if we faced no other challenges, and obviously there are many, the deterioration and near-term potential collapse of the ozone layer is, in and of itself, an extinction-level scenario if we remain on the current course. take a moment to consider the two reports I just covered, one from 1978 and one from 2 days ago. Both reports are important pieces to the overall puzzle. Both reports add further confirmation to the conclusion that geoengineeringwatch.org, based on all available data, has tried to sound the alarm about for over a decade, that short of nuclear cataclysm, the ongoing interference with Earth's life support systems in the form of weather warfare, climate engineering, is the greatest and most immediate threat we collectively face, short of nuclear cataclysm. The climate science community tells us that a two-passenger, single-propeller-driven plane with a few flares on the wings modifies the weather. But then the same so-called scientists flatly deny that military tankers dumping as much as 100 tons of particulates in our skies on a single flight, leaving a massive, lingering, expanding swath of heavy metal and chemical filth from horizon to horizon, isn't actually doing a thing. That's what they tell us. The canopy of contamination, they say, has no effect or impact. And yes, the betrayal of academia in so many arenas, simply conforming to the official denial. Denial of real and present dangers on countless fronts. And though there's an endless list of anthropogenic activities that are decimating the planet and its life support systems, climate engineering is the single greatest. And this includes the destruction of the ozone layer. If we remain on the current course, the NASA contract engineer calculates total ozone layer collapse may occur as soon as 2025 or 2026. If that happens, even if we had no other challenges, and again, we have a countless list of challenges, it would be game over. No ozone layer, no terrestrial life on planet Earth. Most aquatic life dead as well. Where do we go from here? In a moment, the most recent breaking frontline reports on issues and events that will most impact our collective future. First, as always, I want to thank each and every individual that's doing their best to stay informed, to wake others with credible data from a credible source, and to help turn the tide of insanity. Thank you for your help with sounding the alarm. Thank you more than I can say. It is our collective efforts that can yet make a difference. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour, episode number 260, August 1st, 2020. In this broadcast, news that covers the issues that we must face if we're to have any chance of changing course. This commercial-free frontline news broadcast brought to you, as always, by geoengineeringwatch.org and paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings from 6 to 7 AM. Sunday morning, same time slot, repeat broadcast. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. The latest geoengineeringwatch.org awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. Again, these printed materials are extremely effective at waking others. A picture is worth a thousand words, as the saying goes, and this is something that can be done from your own home, mailing them out to key agencies, individuals, organizations. Our links off our homepage also to our data and materials can be emailed out, and flaming arrows can thus be sent to awaken people to what they're not being told, something that is a threat to their very existence, to their immediate near-term future, and that will become increasingly evident in the weeks and months to come. A few headline examples from last week. From numerous sources, World Bank and IMF exposed COVID aid conditional on imposing extreme lockdowns and curfews. From that report, huge foreign loans are given to sovereign nations by the World Bank and the IMF. But the conditions that come attached to these loans are seldom told by governments to their citizens. A recent case in Belarus has exposed the conditions laid by these agencies for loans being provided for COVID-19. The president of Belarus has exposed that the World Bank coronavirus aid comes with conditions for imposing extreme lockdown measures. The president of Belarus was asked to model their coronavirus response on that of Italy's response. He was even asked to implement changes in the economic policies for his country, which he refused as being unacceptable. As I continue through the rest of the state, and I have much to cover, please remember it's all connected. As geoengineeringwatch.org has stated over and over again for a decade, more than a decade, biosphere collapse, unfolding climate and biosphere collapse will continue to fuel ever more desperate power structure responses as they attempt to maintain their stranglehold on power. It's all connected. Question, how well has the CV-19 scenario served those in power in many countries? No large, peaceful, organized demonstrations over anything, anywhere. If you think major powers are not colluding and cooperating behind the scenes on many issues, including climate engineering and CV-19, think again. And this question, isn't it curious that official health and public protection agencies that represent the medical industry never seem to recommend any form of preventative medicine, not vitamin C, not vitamin D, not zinc, not anything, except, of course, mandatory experimental vaccinations. More headlines. Almost 30 million Americans went hungry last week as recovery stalls. And for the record, there was never a, quote, recovery, only smoke and mirrors orchestrated to pacify populations till the last possible moment. And consider that the snake can only eat its own tail for so long. And that's what the stock market is. That's what the entire model of industrialized, militarized civilization is, grinding up nature for profit. How could that possibly continue? How's the Ponzi scheme of perpetual expansion on a finite planet with finite resources going? Here's some headlines. And all of these headlines can easily be searched. I'm trying to go through them as quickly as possible, not going to cite sources because there's generally many sources on each of these headlines. Search the exact headline, you'll find a report. First, a $10 trillion corporate debt bomb is waiting to explode the U.S. economy. Next headline, U.S. economy shrank 9.5% in second quarter. That's a 32.9% annual shrinkage rate. Next headline, a quarter of all household income in the U.S. now comes from the government. How long can that last? As long as they can print money and anybody will take it, and there's any resources left to use it for, I suppose. Next headline, the pandemic may cause 40 million Americans to lose their homes. Or the plandemic. Is that what they said? Maybe they should have. Next headline, U.S. renters owe $21.5 billion in back rent. Next headline, over 62 million people had no pay last week. Next headline, President Trump floats the idea of an election delay. We'll see how that goes. Next headline, Renault handed wake-up call with record 7 billion euro loss. Another headline, confession time for big banks in Europe as they report tens of billions in losses. Next headline, auto industry set to put brakes on Central Europe's COVID-19 recovery. Another headline, Dunkin' Donuts to close 800 U.S. stores. Another headline, ravaged by coronavirus, Mexico's GDP falls record 17.3% in second quarter. Those are staggering numbers. Another headline, German GDP slumps by most since 1970 in the second quarter. It's actually worse than that, but that's what they're officially stating. Another headline, lawmakers say airline contractors laid off more than 9,000 despite $728 million in federal aid. Where'd that money go then? Another headline, Delta CEO sends staff memo thanking 17,000 employees for leaving. A few more example headlines, and consider and remember always that unfolding environmental collapse will and is forcing economic and societal collapse. Another headline on that subject, the world is facing a solar panel waste problem. Huge contamination in that arena. Again, watch Michael Moore's film, Planet of the Humans. Another headline, coastal flooding could hit nearly 20% of global GDP as climate change accelerates storms and sea level rise. Could, may, might. No, already is. Another headline, COVID-19 pandemic threatens global food security, researchers say. No mention of the ongoing climate engineering onslaught wreaking havoc on the planet's life support systems, its ability to produce food, even as the report from 1978 from the former U.S. Navy officer stating even then how bad it was. How much worse is it now? And still, no official recognition of the climate engineering elephant in the sky. Not from official agencies, not from academia. Even while the ozone layer is being ripped apart, crops are failing, fisheries failing, the intense UV radiation that I reported earlier from the NASA contract engineer that we have absolutely confirmed is killing plankton. The UV radiation kills plankton. Without plankton, we are gone. We're done. That's the single greatest source of oxygen production on the planet. It is the foundation for the food chain on planet Earth. It's 60%+ gone already and plummeting with each passing day. How long do we expect to be here on the current course? Another headline. Massive fleet of Chinese fishing boats threaten Galapagos Islands. The human race now is engaged in trying to kill or capture any remaining food source until there's nothing left. Total desperation. We're in the fast track for something far worse than a Mad Max future. And for those who don't believe it, I'm sorry to say that you will soon. Wait and see. What about the Chinese and their climate engineering efforts? Are they ramping up their weather warfare assault on their own country? There's no question. The Chinese are also doubling down on the geoengineering onslaught. What proof do we have? Search China sees summer snow. This just happened last week. It snowed in parts of Beijing, China, and a number of other locations in China. Some locations saw feet of snow in the middle of summer. Multiple sources covered the scenario. Go to geoengineeringwatch.org and search engineering winter and learn about this process that even Fox News and Popular Science covered in years past. They won't say a word about it now, but this engineering weather using patented processes of chemical ice nucleation for weather modification, the Chinese government's doing it, our government's doing it, countless other governments are doing it. This is the core causal factor of the weather whiplash events when it goes from record highs to snow and sometimes only hours. This is not nature doing this. Absolutely not nature. More on climate modification being blatantly displayed in plain sight and yet not mentioned can be viewed on the current cover of Aviation Week magazine. This image is beyond shocking. Search Aviation Week, July 27th/August 16th, 2020. Take a look at that cover. You'll be shocked. Moving on, more headlines. Man cannot win against nature. From that report, amid catastrophic floods, China's dams come into question. Again, weather warfare is absolutely being used by the Chinese controllers against their own populations. With few exceptions, countries all over the world are actively or passively participating in the climate engineering insanity. It's not opinion. Government documents prove this fact. Search geoengineeringwatch.org massive Senate document. It's almost 800 pages long. It's just one example. And this doesn't mean that there's not an effect from the imploding life support systems of the planet from countless human activities. All of it is a part of the equation. It's not just climate engineering, but taken as a single piece of the puzzle, climate engineering is the single greatest, the single biggest piece, the single most deadly and disruptive piece, climate engineering. And there can be no legitimate discussion from any perspective about the climate or the state of the climate without first and foremost discussing and disclosing, acknowledging, and accounting for climate engineering. The largest and most dire untold story on the planet today, affecting everything else, including the scenarios now being implemented against societies all over the globe. All of it connected. More headlines from last week. From EcoWatch.com, ocean plastic could triple by 2040, report finds. No need to worry about that report because in the current course, we'll never make 2040. We'll never make 2030. Our timeline will be much, much shorter without a complete course correction by the human race. New from counterpunch.org and other sources, quote, we will coup whoever we want, end quote. That's from Elon Musk regarding the overthrow of democracy in Bolivia. On July 24th, 2020, Tesla's Elon Musk wrote on Twitter that a second U.S., quote, government stimulus package is not in the best interest of the people, end quote. Someone responded to Musk soon after, stating, you know what wasn't in the best interest of the U.S. people? Question mark. The U.S. government organizing a coup against Evo Morales in Bolivia so you could obtain lithium there, end quote. Musk then wrote back to this individual, the quote I mentioned a moment ago, we will coup whoever we want. Deal with it, end quote. That's the mentality of those in power that feel they have the right to take resources from anyone's country they choose at the point of a gun, metaphorically. They topple these countries by whatever means, install puppet dictators, and loot, plunder, pillage, and pollute those countries. For the record, the democratically elected president, former president of Bolivia, Evo Morales, was illegally removed from office in November 2019. The coup was indeed successful. A few headlines from the home front. From MSN.com and numerous other sources, Dr. Fauci recommends wearing goggles to prevent catching the coronavirus. Not glasses, goggles. The saga continues. Again, this question. Are the leaders of both orchestrated political parties laughing it up over drinks behind closed doors? Something to think about. From the Washington Examiner and other sources, GOP coronavirus bill includes FBI building construction funds. The Trump administration included in the coronavirus aid package $1.75 billion to construct the FBI building in Washington, D.C. The consolidation of power continues on every conceivable front. Those in power utilize countless tactics to polarize populations against each other. And how many times do we hear how many U.S. politicians refer to COVID-19 as the, quote, China virus, in spite of voluminous data that confirms otherwise? But generally, all that is remembered by the public is the repetitive finger-pointing. Not to absolve China by any means, but they're certainly only one of many actors participating in the scenarios that are unfolding. Trust the scientists, we're told. Trust the science. Trust the, quote, experts, we're told. Over and over and over. Question, which scientists, which science, and which so-called experts? Does this last category include Bill Gates? Who exactly made him an expert? Well, no pun intended there, of course, as Bill Gates seems to actually own WHO, the World Health Organization, an entity that has been perhaps paid enough to crown Mr. Gates as a completely uncredentialed medical, quote, expert. Should we trust the scientists and so-called experts that created all the endless parade of pharmaceutical concoctions that we see advertised on TV? Ads that are soon discontinued as they're followed up by an avalanche of commercials from legal firms inviting people who are permanently damaged or worse from last week's Big Pharma witch's brew to sue for damages this week. Should we trust the corporate-funded so-called scientists that have stated in decades now past that the chemical DDT was safe, that Roundup glyphosate was safe, that Agent Orange wouldn't harm our own troops, or that depleted uranium ammunition was no big deal, ammunition used by our military, exposing our troops and countless civilians? Are the scientists that said all this the kind we should, quote, trust? Let's ask the Iraqi mothers about issues like the U.S. military's depleted uranium ammunition. Search that subject online and examine the countless, absolutely horrifying birth defect photos from Iraq. Or the U.S. military personnel, again, that were exposed to depleted uranium, the gift of suffering and death from the Pentagon and its so-called experts against our own military brothers and sisters. A decade and a half ago, I personally paid for former U.S. Marine medic Dennis Kine to travel to Reading and educate about the depleted uranium the Pentagon exposed our military personnel to, along with countless innocents again in the Middle East. In spite of much advertising and many announcements on this presentation by Mr. Kine, almost none showed up to hear this 15-year U.S. military veteran medic speak. So much for patriotism, at least the real kind, not the blind flag-waving, look at me, I'm an unquestioning and obedient member of the herd kind. Why did generations now past trust the so-called science experts that created and then detonated over 2,000 nuclear weapons on our planet? Research data suggests that the hidden cost of developing nuclear weapons were far larger than previous estimates, with radioactive fallout responsible for 340,000 to 690,000 American deaths from 1951 to 1973, a result of the fallout from nuclear testing on U.S. soil in Nevada. And please, please don't believe me. Please actually investigate. The University of Arizona was one of the sources for the statistics just covered. Recommended documentaries in the subject of radiation threat. Hidden Wars of Desert Storm. The filmmaker for that internationally award-winning film is a close personal friend. Another headline, Quietly Into Disaster, full movie, excellent film as well. And from another perspective, search and view, Baraka, on an overall perspective to ponder the state of the world. Should we still blindly trust the science and medical experts that have long since told the public that, for example, drinking industrial waste neurotoxin like fluoride in our water was all good, No problem. What about the experts that told us putting mercury in our mouths in the form of fillings wasn't a problem? Should we trust all the, quote, experts that are still trying to convince the public how safe and wonderful nuclear power is, even while the Fukushima triple nuclear meltdown radiation volcano continues to spew its permanent poison into the world? And with this situation, there is no known technology to fix the problem and no end in sight. And yet we're still told nuclear power is safe. Should we blindly trust all the medical industry, quote, experts that continue to claim vaccines are, quote, safe, while the entire vaccine industry enjoys total legal immunity from any and all death and injury their products cause, while the U.S. government's National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program continues to pay out billions to vaccine injury victims? Question: how many deaths are directly attributed to the, quote, experts in the medical industry? From John Hopkins Medicine, hopkinsmedicine.org, this study, quote, study suggests medical errors now third leading cause of death in the U.S. From that report, analyzing medical death rate data over an 8-year period, John Hopkins patient safety experts have calculated that more than 250,000 deaths per year are due to medical error in the U.S. The Johns Hopkins team says the CDC's way of collecting, that's the Center for Disease Control, collecting national health statistics fails to classify medical errors separately on the death certificate. Incidence rates for deaths directly attributable to medical care gone awry haven't been recognized in any standardized method for collecting national statistics, the John Hopkins report states. It continues with this, quote, the medical coding system was designed to maximize billing for physician services, not to collect national health statistics. Hear no evil, see no evil, it seems. But now, it seems, almost every death is a COVID death, which pays even more to the medical industry. Again, all the while, big pharma experts keep telling us how safe vaccines are. How many are flying blind on power structure programmed, quote, autopilot? How many? How few, it seems, have any serious interest in honest investigation of the truth, let alone taking constructive action based on what objective investigation would reveal. Any individual source that in any way disputes the official narrative is immediately and viciously demonized by all corporate-controlled and thus power structure-controlled sources of mainstream media. The same demonization is occurring in societies between family members and friends. Why are so many committed to countless conclusions and beliefs without ever having conducted any objective and unbiased investigation, without having any factually verifiable evidence at all to support their beliefs and conclusions? A primary reason, not surprisingly, is that various specific beliefs are held and defended because societies have been consistently trained to do exactly that. Many tenaciously held belief systems and beliefs and conclusions stem from deeply rooted fears. Because our families, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, etc., harbor and defend the same perpetuated beliefs and belief systems that are, all too often, an immense hindrance in regard to being able to clearly see and to accurately assess the wider horizon. Even when armed with a mountain of verifiable facts and data, breaking down beliefs that have been internally accepted and embraced and that are held by an individual's family and peers is often all but impossible. Beliefs are a mental representation of how an individual expects or wants things to be in the world. But what we may want, wish for, or expect to be is not necessarily in any way representative of what actually is. Though such forms of denial may provide the perception of short-term comfort, in the end, the avoidance of unpleasant truths inevitably leads to ever larger manifestations of those truths. Pretending a cancer doesn't exist won't magically make that cancer go away. For some of our most deeply held beliefs, we have no evidence at all, except that the people we love and trust also hold these beliefs. But with all this in mind, it is also imperative to remember and consider how those in power spin the condition of denial and the discussion of it into a tool to fortify official propaganda and official dictates. Anyone who does not blindly agree with official narratives and dictates is labeled, for example, a, quote, science denier, even when and if there is a mountain of science data which actually disputes or opposes the official narrative or dictate. It's almost always counterproductive to confront an individual that is not interested in hearing relevant and verifiable facts. Doing so will generally trigger an internal defense mechanism within the individual, all too often causing them to double down on their denial, as they then perhaps internally label the would-be messenger of truth as a, quote, lunatic for daring to present information that challenges ideology and unresearched or biased beliefs and conclusions. Evidence that disputes deeply held beliefs is often never consciously heard or is immediately discarded, no matter how factually verifiable and indisputable that evidence is. How many in populations still hold to the belief that some single individual in a so-called elected office will save them from the darkening horizon? Often, no matter how checkered that individual's past may have been. Moving on, more headlines. Giant empty stadiums in Texas. This is one of countless monuments to a future which will never be. Another headline, D.C. exempts lawmakers and government employees from new mask order. How about that? What's good for the goose isn't necessarily good for the gooser, is it? In Shasta County, Northern California, the official CV-19 infection total has escalated just about 1,200% since the mandatory mask-wearing provision was fully instituted. A 1,200% increase since full enforcement of mandatory masks. Does this sound like success? Perhaps it depends on who gets to define, quote, success in this case. Another headline, Fox News. Schools using power fans with disinfecting mist to combat COVID-19. That doesn't sound very safe either, does it? From the report, quote, they're using large power fans to spray disinfectant across classrooms. Is that supposed to make us feel safe about sending our children back to school? What about vaccines? Perhaps that'll save the day, as we're being officially told. From en.newsfront.info, this headline, American coronavirus vaccine killed 5 Ukrainians. The report asserts that the vaccine tests conducted by American virologists in Ukraine ended in tragedy. The report further asserts that, quote, 15 candidates were selected for an innovative medicine and vaccine, including 10 soldiers of the armed forces of Ukraine who became ill with coronavirus. In the course of the research, 8 patients deteriorated and were transferred to intensive care. The report further states, quote, 3 people were connected to ventilators. As a result, 5 patients, including 4 military personnel, died from complications caused by the infection. Again, the report concludes that this infection was caused by the experimental vaccinations. Perhaps just rumors. Who can say with certainty? But let's take a moment to hear what Mr. Bill Gates recently stated about vaccines on film and on the record. Perhaps his testimony will make us, quote, trust the experts. From CBS News, listen carefully.
There'll be a lot of uncertainty about how good these vaccines are. You know, the first generation, they set a 50% effectiveness, and they won't know the duration there. So these are going to be likely partial solutions that will improve over time. And so it's too bad, you know, people think that just that phase 3 approval will be the end of the epidemic.
Well, I want to ask you, you mentioned side effects. The side effects for the Moderna vaccine sound concerning. We looked. After the second dose, at least 80% of participants experienced a systemic side effect, ranging from severe chills to fevers. So, are these vaccines safe?
Well, the FDA, not being pressured, will look hard at that. The FDA is the gold standard of regulators, and their current guidance on this, if they stick with that, is very, very appropriate. The side effects were not super severe. That is, it didn't cause permanent health problems for the things there. They, you know, Moderna did have to go with a fairly high dose, and so to get the antibodies. Some of the other vaccines are going able to go with lower doses to get responses that are pretty high, including the the J&J and the Pfizer. And so there's a lot of characteristics of these vaccines. It's great that we have multiple of them that are going out there. And yes,
you know the data better than I do. But the data showed that everybody with a high dose had a side effect.
Yeah, but some of that is not dramatic, where, you know, it's just, you know, super painful. But yes, there we need to make sure there's not severe side effects. The FDA, I think, will do a good job of that, despite the pressure.
How many doses of the vaccine will we need?
Well, none of the vaccines at this point appear like they'll work with a single dose. That was the hope at the very beginning. Maybe one of them, particularly in the second generation, won't surprise us. We hope just two, although in the elderly, sometimes it takes more. And so making sure we have lots of elderly people in the trial will give us that data.
You've said some more than 7 billion doses is what we'll need.
Well, if what you're trying to do is block all the transmission, then you need to get, you know, 70-80% coverage on a global basis. So that, you know, it's unbelievably big numbers.
I mean, you're talking about a global vaccination program without a vaccine that hasn't been fully developed yet, and a massive scaling up of how to produce one or several vaccines. I mean, it's just, it's mind-boggling to think about this effort.
But the private companies have stepped up. The science has been advanced. The U.S. funds biological research more than any other country. We've stepped up to fund these vaccine manufacturers. The plants are being worked out now. In 2021, there's a good chance this can get done.
Question: should any of that reassure us? Should any of that provide a sense of confidence or trust in the so-called experts? And again, why is Bill Gates playing such a part when he is completely uncredentialed? Why is he in control of so much, or at least he appears to be? What types of laws are being created which relate to the subject just covered? Consider these examples from the Arizona Revised Statutes, Title 36, Public Health and Safety. This is subtitled Public Health Authority During State of Emergency. Section B1 states this: mandate medical examinations for exposed persons. Section C1 states this: mandate treatment or vaccination of persons who are diagnosed with illness resulting from exposure, or who are reasonably believed to have been exposed, or who may reasonably be expected to be exposed. Mandate, it says. And Section D: law enforcement officials of this state and the National Guard shall enforce orders issued by the governor under this section. Just one example of the kind of laws being written. Mr. Gates has long since made known his deep concerns about overpopulation and environmental collapse. Question: how is everything connected? How does each piece of the puzzle fit together? Given all that's being imposed on societies, how many have been able to give a moment's attention to the wider horizon, even though the wider horizon is completely connected, again, to the unfolding societal scenarios that are being imposed? More headlines on the biosphere collapse. Deadly floods hit South Korea's central and southern regions. Another headline: widespread flooding from persistent rains claims at least 17 lives in Yemen. Another headline: record flooding in China continues. Another headline: severe flood situation continues in Bihar. Nearly 4 million affected. This is in India. Next headline: bee population decline threatens major crop yields in U.S. and global food security. Another headline: Hurricane Isaias rakes the Bahamas on course toward Florida's east coast. It's being stirred at the east coast, used to cool down part of that region. A giant swamp cooler steered by the climate engineers. Search geoengineeringwatch.org, hurricanes. Learn more and see animations that will show how these hurricanes are steered when they're near land. More weather climate collapse related headlines. Record flooding in Japan. Another headline: severe flooding paralyzes Taft City in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. Another headline: massive flooding forecast to sweep through wide swaths of Nigeria between September and October. How do they know that, unless it's the scheduled weather? Next headline: France swelters under heat wave, putting firefighters on alert. Next headline: everything is burning. Argentina's Delta fires rage out of control. Another headline: This is from weathernetwork.com and other sources. Melting permafrost is splitting trees and threatening highways in the Yukon. Again, this reminder, the melting of permafrost and methane hydrates in the permafrost and on the seafloor is spewing this methane into the atmosphere. It's covering the planet like a layer of glass. If this process continues, we're done. And climate engineering is further fueling the overall process in the attempt to hide it from the population. Another headline. Temperatures soar to record-breaking 125 degrees in ancient desert city. They're talking about Baghdad. And keep in mind, in temperatures in this range, zero crops will grow. Staple crops will actually fry in the fields. And for the record, photosynthesis tapers off as temperatures approach 100 degrees and stops completely at 104 degrees. Another headline. One of the Arctic's northernmost towns just recorded its hottest temperature ever. The records continue to fall. The town in question happens to be Svalbard, the town where the global elite's doomsday seed vaults exist. So much for that experiment. Another headline, sea surface temperatures as much as 17 degrees C or 30.5 degrees Fahrenheit above the 1981-2011 normal, which was already above normal. 30 degrees above normal in the Arctic. This is far beyond catastrophic, and none of it's being reported. While we view the orchestrated events and mass distraction being carried out by corporate media and the powers that be. Another headline, this one from GQ.com. Quote, human civilization isn't prepared to survive climate change. For the record, we don't face climate change. We face something far worse. We face an already unfolding abrupt climate and environmental collapse. Final headline. After nearly three decades of climate talks, the future remains uncertain. And that's not true, because on the current course, the future is in fact certain. If we remain in the current course, mathematically and statistically speaking, we are very near the end of the road. Again, if we do not change course immediately and completely. I'm almost out of time in this on-air broadcast, but we must ask, what now? How do we face the converging catastrophes that are closing in from every direction? The unfolding climate and environmental collapse is fueling unprecedented power structure desperation and tyranny, but we must always remember and consider that those in power are not gods, and we are not helpless. Gandhi stated this, "You assist an evil system most effectively by obeying its orders and decrees. An evil system never deserves such allegiance. Allegiance to it means partaking of the evil. A good person will resist an evil system with his or her whole soul." Again, from Gandhi. Gandhi also stated this, "In nonviolence, the masses have a weapon that enables a child, a woman, or even a decrepit old man to resist the mightiest government successfully. If your spirit is strong, mere lack of physical strength ceases to be a handicap." If we summon our strength and courage, each of us, all of us, together, we can yet make a difference, even at this late hour. We're playing a grand game of chess. We must learn to play well and effectively. We must reach a critical mass of awareness within the population. That is the first and most critical leap in the right direction. If we can achieve this, countless other wheels will begin to turn on their own, as military personnel, as families of military personnel, people in other industries, the medical industrial complex, as all of them begin to understand what's at stake and what they are participating in, and the fact that the threats we face are existential and that their paychecks and pensions will not matter for much longer, then we must hope that such individuals make a rational and reasonable decision to seek solace in the only place that it can truly exist, in the correct, moral, and honorable use of our own will, the only thing that we can ever truly own, the only thing that can never be taken from us, ever. Make your voice heard in this all-important battle for the greater good. Share credible data from a credible source. Make every day count, and never, ever yield to the fading of the light. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.